حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، just a few words to say so that the responsibility of learning and teaching can be fulfilled. Karbala, what we saw in Karbala from the time Imam Hussein began his message until he gave his sacrifice, and then we saw that ithar was made. Everyone who was with Hussein, they did ithar, meaning they sacrificed themselves for each other. Everyone sacrificed themselves for Hussein. And this is the lesson that we had learned, that the sign of a Shia who wants to be with Imam, is someone who has the quality of ithar in him. Meaning sacrificing yourself for the other, for a mu'min. When we have this quality in us, then truly we can be with the Imam. You know, we look at this, we see how much is the extent of ithar, that even those who are munafiq and who are hypocrites, who don't believe, you see, it is said that when the last Imam will come and he will establish his rule, he will make the munafiqeen dalil and all nifaq and ahla wa tudhillu biha nifaq wa ahla. And this is done, you know how? By doing the Shia at that time who are under Imam, under the last Imam, will have so much ithar in them that they will win over the hearts of even the hypocrites. They will win them over. That the hypocrites will not be able to go on with the hypocrisy, because they will see that the Shia who are under the rule of Imam and who will be fighting by his side will have so much self-sacrifice in them that they will win over those people who do not believe. This is how you see he will destroy nifaq. My friends, just here so that we can understand more of our times. This day Imam Hussein, he gave a message, he established the deen, and I want to explain a little bit right now. Let us take a few minutes right now that I want to explain this so that this could be understood, and then we will go to Karbala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
You see, my brothers and sisters, munafiq or a hypocrite is not just in religion. Meaning, it's not only in Islam do we have munafiqeen. Even you see that the kuffar are munafiq to their own selves. To their own selves, they are also munafiq. Meaning that they are insincere when they tell things when they do things. This was the sifat, this was the quality of Bani Israel in the Quran and in history. That they would take the deen from the prophets and they would, because of their hypocrisy, they will express it by destroying the holy and sacred terms that are used by Allah and using them and misusing them and abusing them to mean something else. When we look at respectable slogans and terms that are used in the world right now, such as peace, such as human rights,
yes,
such as these things, you know, these terms that are used, you see that these terms are being used in order that the real meaning of those terms is never known to people. Understand it very well. When you hear on TV about human rights, about women's rights, and about this and about that, you see, these terms that are used are, what are they being used for right now? They're used to the real actual meaning of these terms and slogans that is meant for humanity to be learned from Allah. These are divine terms. These are divine terms. And these terms are being used and they are being propagated and they are being shown on TV to do what? In order that the real meaning of these terms is kept away from the people and people remain ignorant. And by this, what they mean to do is that they want to hijack the divine ideology and the divine terminology that Allah had made for humanity. They want to hijack and make it something else. So now when we speak of peace, when we speak of human rights, so now people will say, well, this is not what it means. And they will be away from those meanings. But all of these terms that have been abused, all of these terms have been abused, are abused to keep the people away from one term. Understand this much. They are meant, all of these terms that they use, that are, yeah, that you see are respectable, right? All these terms are used in order to keep the people away from one term. And they know that this term is essential. To make the people ignorant of one term. And that term is love.
Wow.
That term is love.
Wow.
Right? Muhabbat, mawaddat, this hub. Love. This is a term that they want to keep the people away from. They don't want you to know this term. They don't want you to know what it means. They themselves don't know what it means, but they know the power of this word. They know the power of this word. And they want to keep the people away from this word. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He had said that hal ad-din illa al-hub. Is deen anything but love? Is religion anything but love? It is just love that is religion. Meaning that love is not a part of religion. He didn't say that. He didn't say that love is a part of religion like prayer is, like worship is, like, for example, ahkam and rules are, like inheritance and all these things. No. He said that love is not a part of religion. He didn't say that. He said love is religion. And deen is love. You see, in other words, deen came for human beings. And deen, it came to define human beings. If human beings are to be known what they are, then they need to understand what love is. If they don't know what love is, they will not know what deen is. So in order to keep the people away from divine religion and divine teachings and Allah, The whole idea is to keep people away from the meaning of love, or do not let them get close to this word. Because we have in hadith that you can say, "Ad-deen huwa al-hub, wal-hub huwa ad-deen." Deen is love, love is deen.
Wow.
That is how strong the relationship is between the two. And hence, when we look at this love, my friends, this love, when someone wants to love, wants to understand the meaning of love, they know that love, the meaning of love, cannot be understood unless there is a beloved, an object of that love, where love can be found. You cannot love something unless you don't have the object of love. And if the object of love is not worthy of love, then that love will never exist. The love will never exist. And hence they use the term love for so many other things. So that when people hear the word love, they will be distracted and never know what true love is. What is true love? And hence, when we look at what true love is, that can only be found where you have someone that you can love. Because love cannot exist if there is no one who is worthy of love. That is why the only one worthy of love is Allah. And if Allah send someone that is tangible for us to love, it is Ahlul Bayt. See this. So now, in order for us to fulfill our deen, in order for us to understand deen, we need to understand love. And in order for us to understand love, we need Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So now, when love is understood, my friends, this is the term that we need to emphasize a lot. Because the whole of deen is based on love. Every aspect and every law in Islam is based on love. Every ideology in Islam is based on love. Everything, the basis of that is love. That is something we need to understand. If we don't understand love, then we don't understand deen. If you don't understand deen, then we are lost. So this is why when someone finds Ahlul Bayt, they find love. When they find love, then they have a force inside of them that can break any barrier, and that can break any ceiling, and that can break any wall and go into everyone's heart. This is why you see the followers, the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, the strongest force that they have is love. That is what they are afraid of. Why is it that those Shias in this world who have no arms or bearing no arms are being attacked and being killed?
Yes.
Because they understand that a Shia doesn't need arms to be powerful. They understand that a Shia doesn't need arms to be powerful. His love is his ammunition. The love that they have for Allah and Ahlul Bayt, that is their ammunition, my friends. Just the fact that we have this love is what makes us strong. This is what makes us strong, my friends, this love that we have. Don't underestimate this love that you have. This, when you look around, people are dreaming of this. And we are inviting them to fulfill their dreams with Ahlul Bayt. This is where you find peace and comfort. You know, because when someone does ithar for you, to the extent that Hussein has done, then what relationship can we have with him but love? What relationship can we have with him but love? That's it, my friends. That is the message. Now, Sahib al-Azha is waiting for us. You know, the one who is our host in this place is waiting for us. He has arranged this majlis for you and he has invited you. And he has invited you to come. You know, really, you know, when you invite someone to come, you see that even though you're inviting, but you always take the person who is your elder and say that you are invited to come on behalf of the elder. On behalf of the elder. The host of the majalis that we have right now for Imam Hussain is our Imam of the time. He is the host. And he invites you on behalf of his grandmother Fatima. He invites you on her behalf and say that, listen, I being her son, I'm inviting you to come on her behalf so that you can honor us by coming here and crying for our grandfather. Crying for my grandfather. My friends, today Imam-e-Zamana has gone through more than you have gone through. He has shed more tears than you have shed. He has spent more of himself than you have spent. Because you know, he is waiting to come back. And he is waiting for us so that he can come back. And he wants us to get ready so that he can come back to us, my friends. Let us now go to Karbala and give condolences to the Imam and give our testimony that we are here because we are the Shia of Hussein. We are the Shia of Hussein. Fatima, we heard your call and we want to answer your dua. Today is Ashura. You know, today is Ashura. You know, today is the day that Imam Hussein was bothered a lot. He has been put through a lot today, my friends. He has been put through a lot today. He has been bothered a lot. He has been harassed a lot. He has been ridiculed a lot. And he has given a lot also. He has given a lot. You know, when he put Ali Asghar in the grave, Hussein took some time out and looked at the battlefield and saw his companions sitting. He was lying on the battlefield. Lying on the battlefield, they were lying there. And he just looked at them. And truly, what they had given for him, Hussein looked at them and knew that, you know, this, how can one be unhappy at this time looking at these companions who gave this life? What great men to be with, to have with in your side. Hussein looked at them, looked at his children who gave his life, and then knew that, you know, this is it, now I have to go. It is time, the time for Asr is coming. Before the sun goes down, Allah's will needs to be done. Hussein made the promise with Allah that he will fulfill that promise. Allah mentions that in the Quran, and said that, Ibrahim, I spared Ismail for you. I spared Ismail for you, but the great sacrifice is going to come, Ibrahim. And he showed Ibrahim the sacrifice. When Ibrahim saw Hussein, he fell in love with Hussein. He fell in love with Hussein and he said, I want to know who this is. And Allah said, Ibrahim, this is your son from your from your children he's going to come to you. This is Hussein. Ibrahim fell in love with him. My friends, Hussein is someone that everyone cried for. Anbiya cried for him. Rasulullah cried for Hussein. Rasulullah cried for Hussein. In fact, every time he would see Hussein, he would cry. Every time he would see Hussein, they would be, his eyes would be in tears. You know, really, we couldn't see, no one could see what Rasulullah is seeing. Now when we look back in history and see what Rasulullah saw when he saw Hussein, you know, Rasulullah did a lot for Imam Hussein. You know, he used to do Ithar for Hussein. Everyone did Ithar for Hussein. Rasulullah also did Ithar for Hussein. He sacrificed himself for Hussein. You know, every time he used to be with Hussein, he used to sacrifice for Hussein. Allah wanted him to do that. When you see Rasulullah was in sajda and Hussein got on top of him, when he got on top of him, you see, Allah said, Ya Rasul, my Habib, stay in sajda. I don't want you to bother Hussein. It was the day of Eid when you see that, when you see Rasulullah came to get Hussein to go to the masjid so that we can offer the Eid prayer. Hussein looked at his prophet, he looked at his grandfather. He was very young, he was a toddler. He looked at his grandfather and said, Grandfather, are you going to take me to the masjid for Eid prayer? He said, yes, you come with me. He says, but you know, all the other children, they have a ride and they're coming on rides to the Eid prayer. I don't have a ride. Rasulullah said, come, get on my shoulders. I will be your ride. Ya Hussein. You know, Hussein said, after he got onto the shoulders of Rasulullah, he said, you know, all the rides that I see the children have, they have reins that they can hold. Why doesn't my ride have reins that I can hold? Rasulullah, you know what he did? He said, take my hair. And Hussein, this will be your reins, Hussein. This will be your reins. Pull these reins. Hussein said, you know what Hussein said? Hussein said, you know that all the other rides, they make noise when they go. Why is my ride not making noise? Then Rasulullah would make noise in order that he goes forward. Then Hussein be happy. And then Hussein said, Ya Rasul, my grandfather, that all these rides are going fast. Why is my ride not going fast? Rasulullah would go fast. When he reached the masjid, when he reached the place of prayer, then Hussein said, now take me back home also. He took him back home. Then when he reached home, he said to Rasulullah, let me go back to the masjid. He went back to the masjid. They came back and forth, it went on until Rasulullah became so exhausted. Until he became so exhausted that he was perspiring and his clothes were drenched in his perspiration. And Fatima looked at this and said, Hussein, why are you bothering your grandfather? Hussein, why are you bothering your grandfather? Rasulullah said, Zahra, do not stop him. Don't say anything to Hussein. Because Zahra, a day will come that Hussein will be carrying dead bodies from the battlefield back and forth in order to save my religion. Wait a minute, this is it. Now let us go to the Musibullah Hussein. Hussein faced the Lord on Ashura. He faced the Lord on Ashura. You heard about every martyr. You know what? You have heard what Onan Muhammad had to go through. You have heard what Qasim had to go through. You know, you heard what Ali Akbar had to go through. You know, you heard what Ali Asghar had to go through. You heard what Abbas had to go through. You heard what the companions have to go through. You know, all their musibat, all their hardship, all their suffering was also Hussein's suffering. Hussein was suffering with Ali Akbar. Hussein was suffering with Ali Asghar. Hussein was suffering with Qasim. Hussein was suffering with Abbas. Every martyr who died, it's Hussein who's taking the burden of that martyr. Hussein is taking the burden. Ajrakum Allah, Ajrakum Allah. May Allah make your homes, may Allah make your homes the light of the house of Ahlul Bayt. May Allah increase the love of Ahlul Bayt in your heart and the love of Hussein in your hearts. Hussein went inside. He went inside the tents to meet the ladies. You know, these ladies now are barren. They have lost their children. They gave them up for Hussein. They gave them up for Hussein. They sacrificed it for Hussein. Hussein, we want you to live. I'll give my child so that you can live, Hussein. They gave whatever they had. They gave it. They gave it up. You know, every lady, they gave it up. They gave whatever they had. They did Ithar on Hussein. Hussein, this is for you. Ali Akbar is for you. Ali Asghar is for you. Qasim is for you. All of these for you. For you. Everyone gave it. Now after giving everything, when Hussein came into the tents, and the ladies looked at Hussein. Ladies looked at Hussein with a helpless look. So helplessly they looked at Hussein. Hussein, if we had anything else, we would give it also, Hussein. If we have someone else, we'll give them, Hussein. What can we do? We have no one else to give. We have nothing else to give. Hussein was standing in the tent. Oh, you know, all the ladies were made a circle around Hussein. And they were crying. They're shedding their tears, raising their voice. Hussein, what can we do? Everything we gave for you. Hussein calmed them down. Hussein calmed them down. He said, it's all right. Now it's time for you to be patient. There will be many tribulations that will come after me. There will be many tribulations that will come after me. He said to them, be patient. Be patient. He said, Zainab, I need you to come with me. He took Zainab aside. He took Zainab aside. And they went into another tent, a separate tent. When he took Zainab aside, he said, Zainab, you know, Sajjad is ill. Zainab, these women are alone. And I'm going. I will not be back, Zainab. I won't be back. Zainab, you will be alone from now on. Zainab, I'm giving you a responsibility, a very big responsibility. Zainab, not only will you have to take care of the woman and children, Zainab, you will also have to take care of my son Sajjad. Zainab. Zainab, you will be responsible for Imamat, Zainab. You know, Hamid ibn Muslim says that on Shabbat Ghareeba, when there were fire in the tent, he saw one lady going in and out of the tent. Then he came close to see what was going on, and he saw a woman carrying a young man on her back outside the boiling tent. Zainab said, I will take the responsibility myself, my brother, I will take it. I will show them that I am your sister. I will show them that I am Ali's daughter. I will show them I am Fatima's daughter. They will know me after all this is done. They will know why. Then Hussein told Zainab, Zainab, you know, go get an old shirt. Get me an old shirt. For some reason, Zainab cried. He said, Zainab, why are you crying? Don't cry right now, Zainab. You need to be strong, Zainab. Zainab said, I just remembered something. He said, what is it? But she brought out the shirt. She was crying. He said, I remembered something. He said, what is that? He said, when I was a baby, this shirt, our mother made this shirt for you. And she was crying when she made this shirt for you. She was crying when she made the shirt for you. And I asked her, why are you crying, mother? He said, this is what my son Hussein. Hussein, put on that shirt. Hussein, put on that shirt. And then, after he put on that whole shirt, in front of Zainab, he started to rip that shirt apart. He started to rip it apart from different places. He still ripped it apart. Zainab said, what are you doing, brother? Hussein said, Zainab, you know what I'm doing. You have understood it. These enemies are cowards. These enemies that we face, these people have no shame. They have no haya. They have no ghairat, Zainab. They have no haya. Zainab, just pray that after all this is done, they will leave this shirt on my back. Hussein left Zainab and went to Imam Sajjad, woke him up. Imam Sajjad looked at him, said, what is the father? What's the matter? He looked at Hussein, he saw the blood on his face. He saw the shirt, he saw what condition Hussein was and understood, you know, what has happened, father? Why are you like this? Hussein said, everyone is gone. He said, even Abbas, yes, even Abbas is gone. Abbas is also gone. He started getting up. Hussein put his hand on his shoulder. He said, no, my son, you are to survive. Allah's will is that you are going to survive. Sajjad, what you are going to face after me is much more difficult, Sajjad. Be patient. He gave him the seat of Imamat and said, you are the Imam now. Take this way. And what a way to start your Imamat. What a way to start your Imamat. But Allah will save you. Allah will make you survive. Son, I just have one wish, son. I just have one wish, my son. Go, you know, when you go back to my Shia, tell them that I was very thirsty. I was very thirsty for Ashura. You know, Hussein stopped drinking before everyone else did. Hussein stopped drinking before everyone else. He didn't drink anything so that others can drink. He did isar for others. He didn't stop. He stopped before everyone else did. So Hussein was the thirstiest in all of Ahlul Bayt, in all the camp, and Hussein was the most thirstiest. And Hussein is saying that when you go back to Mashiach, tell them I was very thirsty on Ashura. I was very thirsty. And tell them whenever they drink water, remember my thirst. Remember my thirst. Hussein walked out, left Sajjad there. Now one more thing to do, that is to go to the battlefield. He gets on Zuljanah and tells Zuljanah, let's go. Zuljanah, you have been with me for a long time, Zuljanah. And I have bothered you a lot, Zuljanah. You have carried my burden, Zuljanah. Just I ask you one more time, let's go, Zuljanah. I don't know, my friends, you know, Zuljanah, if he had a tongue, he would say that, Master, for you, I am ready to go into any action. I am ready to go towards death. But what can I do? I can't move right now. I can't move right now. He said, what is the matter? Why aren't you going, Zuljanah? Zuljanah pointed to his leg, and Sakina was holding on to the leg and was saying, Zuljanah, don't take my father to the battlefield, Zuljanah. Zuljanah, don't take my father to the battlefield. My friends, you know what a blessing is this to be in this majlis of Hussein. You know, one of the special martyrs of Karbala is Habib ibn Mazahir. You know, Habib ibn Mazahir. And Habib ibn Mazahir, you know, is one of those special martyrs that Hussein himself called to him. He said, come Habib, come here, come to me. Habib came. And he was a special martyr. He brought that happiness to Ahlul Bayt in Karbala. Some smiles. It was because of Habib. You know, when Habib was dying, Hussein came to him. Hussein came to Habib. And Hussein asked Habib, that Habib, is there any last wish that you have? Is there any last wish that you have? You know, Habib, you know what he answered back? You know what Habib said? He said, Hussein, I have no wish, but you know what? There might be one wish that I have. There might be one wish that I can have, Hussein. He said, what is that, Habib? He said, Hussein, I just wish that I can come back and live again so I can go in your majlis and cry for you. Don't you understand what a place Fatima has given you? Thank you. Husayn got down from the horse and told Sakina, "Sakina, what is the matter, my daughter?" Sakina said, "Father, everyone who has gone to the battlefield did not come back. I'm afraid I will lose you. I'm afraid I will lose you." Now how is Husayn going to handle his daughter? Husayn kneeled down in front of Sakina, brought her to his chest. "Sakina, put your head on my chest one last time." I don't know. You know, Husayn, he told Sakina, you know, you used to be sleeping on my chest, right? Sakina said, she nodded her head. He said, "Sakina, you know, your brother Ali Asghar used to sleep on your mother's chest. Ali Asghar used to sleep on her chest, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Sakina, let's do one thing. Let's make a trade from today." "Let's make a trade from today. From now on, let Ali Asghar sleep on my chest and you sleep with your mother." Ajarkum Allah, Ajarkum Allah. Husayn went on for the last time. He went to the battlefield. I won't take long now, inshallah. Let us go. Let us go to the place Husayn fell. Husayn went to the battlefield, gave his last message and called to the people. They were deaf, they could not hear anymore. They were ridiculing Husayn, they were calling him Husayn. Then one last time, when they did not hear the message, his last hujjat wasn't heard by them. And really, this is Husayn, and only Husayn could do this. Because Husayn, I want to ask you one question. You know, after you gave a hujjat like Ali Asghar, what is more needed to be said right now? After you gave Ali Asghar to them, what other proof do they need? But Husayn said, "No, I will give them a chance again and again and again." But when they did that here, then they started to call him a coward. They called him a coward, that he was to go away. That after all his children are dead, now he is thinking of leaving. Now he doesn't want to die anymore. So Husayn, you came here and you are so brave. You said you are so brave. And now you want to run away after your children have died. When they started to ridicule him in that way, then Husayn said, Thou, come and face me." Husayn is thirsty. He is old. It is said that Husayn has become an old man. You know, when Husayn's head went to Kufa, Ibn Ziyad was hitting the head of Husayn with his feet. He was hitting the head of Husayn with his feet. He was kicking it. And then he said out aloud, "Husayn, you know, he has become very old. Very soon. Husayn has become old very soon." His whole beard was white. And you know what? Zainab, when she heard that, he said, "I know why Husayn became old. I know what made him old. It was Ali Akbar. Seeing Ali Akbar that has made Husayn this old." So Husayn is old, he's aged, he's thirsty, he's weak, he has seen many difficulties today. Husayn, now when he sees this army is ridiculing him, now Husayn goes on the attack. And these people think that Husayn is going to be an easy kill, but that wasn't the case. Husayn, when he attacked the army, he attacked so fiercely that the army wasn't expecting this. He ripped through their ranks in such a way. that everywhere you see, people were being killed, their heads were being chopped, and he was chopping them one by one. One by one he was chopping them. When they saw Hussein's attack, they all started to run away from him. They started to run away from him. Everywhere Hussein was going, no one could face him. Hussein was attacking so ferociously that no one wanted to face him. Hussein was attacking them, killing them one by one. They were running away from Hussein. They were running away from Hussein. Hussein turned to Abbas and said, "My brother Abbas, aren't you going to comment on my fighting?" Hussein was fighting in such a way that people were asking for Aman, and they were saying, "Aman, Hussein, Aman, don't kill us, Hussein, don't kill us." Hussein turned around to the people and he said, "Did you hear this, my companions? Did you hear this, Ali Akbar? Did you hear this, Abbas? These people don't want to fight me. They're running away from me." And then the time came. Umar ibn Sa'd, he told Shimr, he says, "What are you doing?" The Shimr said, "We're trying to do something to him, but we can't get Hussein. Hussein is just too powerful. His attacks are too strong for us." He says, "Of course, this is the son of Hyder-e-Karrar. Don't you know Ali? This is the son of Ali you're fighting with. Don't think that he's 3 days thirsty that he's going to stop fighting. Don't think that he's 3 days thirsty he's going to stop fighting. No. This is Ali's son. This is Fatima's son. You don't know who you're fighting with. Then what should we do?" He says, "Circle him. Circle him. Get him from all sides." And you know what? They made a circle around him. On one side, those who had arrows. On one side, those who had spears. On the other side, those who had swords. On the other side, those who didn't have anything, they picked up rocks and stones. Then a rain of arrows came, a rain of rocks came, and Hussein was hit from so many sides. My friends, you know, Rasulullah left us two things, Quran and Itrat. Quran and Itrat, his progeny. And you know, just like the Quran has commentary and explanation, my friends, you know that it needs explanation. Then you understand what the Quran means. When there's tafsir, then you understand what the Quran means. When there's explanation, then you understand what the Quran means. You know what Ashura is? Ashura is a day when the Itrat was explained to us. When you read the books of tafsir of Quran, how many volumes do they have? 20 volumes? 30 volumes? Let me tell you how many volumes and how much sharh was done and how much commentary was done to the Itrat. You want to hear how many? Let me tell you, there were 34 strikes from the sword. 34 strikes of the sword on Hussein's body. 33 spears went into Hussein's body. How many arrows and how many rocks, we don't even know. Hussein raised his hands to make dua. Hussein raised his hand to make dua. Just as he raised his hand, then an arrow came and hit his mouth. So many arrows were coming in. Hussein was trying to take these arrows out of his body. He was taking them out of his body, but they kept on coming. They kept on coming. How many can Hussein take out? How many can Hussein take out? So many. So many arrows are embedded in his body. My friend, this is it. Now one last time when they see Hussein. Hussein is in a state that now there were so many injuries on him. Someone came to him and took a huge sledgehammer and they hit Hussein on the side of the head. They hit Hussein on the side. Hussein fell off the horse. Hussein fell off the horse, but he could not reach. He could not reach the ground because the arrows were so many. Hussein has fallen down. Hussein has fallen down. But this wasn't the place he was killed. This wasn't the place he was killed. You know, the promised place, the place that Allah willed, was a little distance away from there. Was a little distance away from there. Hussein knew that that's the place where he had to go. How did Hussein know that? Maybe he saw his mother there waiting for him. Maybe he saw Fatima. Say, my son, come to me. You know what Hussein did? He started to go. He started to crawl to the place where he was going to be killed. Hussein started crawling there on his knees and hands. Trying to reach there. And as soon as he started to crawl, someone would come and strike him from the back. Hussein would be hurt again, and again he would take a step, and someone else would hit him. Until he reached his final destination. He reached his final destination. And when he reached there, now Hussein started to make a mound for himself so he can make sajda. He can make sajda. They came to Hussein. Now they saw Hussein is down, no one wanted to come forward. No one wanted to come forward. A time came when they thought that Hussein is dead. And they started running towards the tent. They started running towards the tent. And Hussein mustered up all the voice that he could. And he called out to them. He called out to them, where are you going? And you know what? They stopped. They looked at Hussein. Oh, he said, oh, you're still alive? You're still alive? Hussein told them, if you don't have Islam, at least be free, man. I'm alive. Don't go to my ladies at the lab. My friend, that's it. Now I'll come forward to the resident. You give your condolences to Fatima. That's it. Just give her condolences and say farewell to Hussein. Now I'll just come forward and come to Shimmer. Shimmer comes forward to slaughter Hussein. He comes forward to slaughter Hussein. You know, I heard. In one of the cities in Europe, they are having the Azadari of Ashura. And they said that we are going to slaughter a sheep. This is one of the customs. To slaughter a sheep. They wanted to slaughter a sheep. and they brought a sheep to slaughter. You know, and so what happened is that this was announced, we're going to do this, and everyone came there. To our people, it's normal, but the people around and everywhere in that city started to make an uproar. They said, what, you're going to slaughter a sheep in front of people? Zainab came out to a place that was called Tilla Zainabi and Karbala. They came out, she looked over there to see what was going on. She couldn't see anything. All the people, all the army was in one place. She saw them in one place. She saw them in one place. And then after that, all she saw was Hussain's